America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Shut up, Sean.
I'm looking at Seth. I'm like, we're coming back. Seth's like, I don't care.
Jesse gave me some Rice Krispies treats.
Jesse Watt of 96.5.
Yeah, yeah. She saw that I was struggling this morning. She offered me up her Rice Krispies treats.
Yeah.
They were good.
And some gummies, too. Not the edible.
No, God, that's the last thing I need right now.
Not that kind of gummy. They're like the Welch's fruit chews. Yeah.
It says fruit on it, so they're healthy.
Yeah, yeah. Look at the back. Yeah. You're good. So Thursday Night Football last night, big story. Aaron Rodgers looked, this feels like the first time since he's come back. I mean, we're three games into the season where people are saying, there it is. The old Aaron Rodgers, 24-3, the final score, the Jets beat the Patriots in a game. This played like a 24-3. There's nothing fluky about this. Like the Patriots.
Yeah.
They've been a frisky team these first couple weeks of the season, right?
Yeah.
Beat the Bengals in Cincinnati in week one.
Yeah.
And then they played the Seahawks right down to the wire.
Right, right.
Last night, not so much.
No. It looks a little bit more the weirdness of the first 2 weeks of the season, where like last week we saw multiple upsets or close games.
Last week was crazy.
In games where there were teams that were heavy favorites.
Yeah.
Everything's kind of random in the first couple weeks of the season these days. I think the Patriots came back down to earth a little bit. I think Aaron Rodgers looked good enough that I think more than anything you could say, all right, it looks like, he's a competent quarterback. He's probably not the same guy he used to be, even if he hadn't torn his Achilles tendon. He's old now.
Yep.
So, but that this is a team ultimately in the Jets. It had a really good defense last year.
Yeah.
And were able to win as many games as they did without having at any point during the season a viable NFL quarterback.
They went 7-10 with Zach Wilson as the quarterback.
And I think if it were a team other than the Jets, and especially if that had been Salah's first year as a coach, I think they actually would have gotten more credit for it.
Yeah.
I mean, I spent more time arguing with Jets fans about it. They actually, I thought, had a pretty good season given the circumstances last year.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Jets fans were telling me I was an idiot.
You lose your franchise quarterback four snaps into the season who's never played for you before.
Yeah.
Like this was, I mean, they were on Hard Knocks.
Right.
You know, like they were being celebrated as a hot team.
And maybe I'm biased because I saw the Texans just get absolutely handled by the Jets last year.
Yeah.
And Zach Wilson had the best game of his career versus the Texans. So I think but it's all the drama within the Jets and the constant soap opera. And it's not just because it's Aaron Rodgers or anything. It's just that's how it's been, and that's how it remains even after a victory last night, where at some point during the game, Robert Saleh went to hug Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers pushed him away.
Yeah, it made the rounds.
Kind of a steely-eyed glare.
Yeah, it made the rounds. I think it was after Aaron Rodgers scored a touchdown, threw a touchdown pass to go up 14-3. The video looks like Aaron Rodgers is pissed at Saleh for even trying to hug him. And of course, that's a capture of 3 seconds where we don't see what leads up to it. We don't know what comes after. What we do have is Aaron Rodgers explaining himself. Again, if you didn't see the video, at touchdown scored, Aaron Rodgers is coming to the sidelines. Robert Saleh is going in for a hug.
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers, two hands, shoves him away and kind of glares at him a little bit as he's walking away. Here was Aaron Rodgers being asked about that after the game last night.
It was that awkward exchange with you and Robert. You appeared to push him away.
No, it was not really awkward at all.
When he went to hug you, what happened?
I didn't know. He's not a big hugger, usually, so I didn't know he was going for the hug. He likes to do the two-hand chest push as well. So, but he talks a lot about two-score leads. So I just kind of gave him a push and said, two-score lead.
like a Kirk Cousins. You like that.
Yeah, and I think that's a total thing that two best buds can do, and it's that stone face look, but it's part of the – you're just playing around.
Act. Yeah.
But because of the history and everything, all the other weirdness in the organization and Saleh's handling of press conferences, I understand why people would read into it. I will say almost immediately the joke that everybody thought was their original joke was, Aaron Rodgers treating Salah just like family.
Ah!
I saw at least 10 people tweet that out. Almost. Yeah. It's a good joke. If you came up with it yourself, it's a good joke.
It's a good joke.
Just, although he has reconciled with his family.
That's what I heard.
Hasn't he?
That's what I heard. Yeah. Like he saw his dad at a game or something.
Mike Golic had a good take on this, which was this is progress because these guys got on the same page, Salah and Rodgers, and decided the same lie they were going to tell us. And that to me would be a sign of progress and very encouraging.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
They got together and said, hey, let's talk about this. I don't know. I'll take that at face value. Yeah. I think it was probably them just messing around.
I think so too. That would have been an awfully strange thing to do, up 14-3 in a game, out of malice.
Yeah, you know? The only thing that makes me question it is the fact that Rodgers knew exactly what incident they were talking about when asked.
Yeah.
If you're just joking around, then I don't know if I were a player, I don't know if I would have remembered what the hell they were talking about.
Yeah, maybe. Garrett Wilson's got to feel, feel like the most liberated guy out of this whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
He finally got a real quarterback throwing him the ball.
Had to play with just non-quarterbacks.
Zach Wilson and Tim Boyle.
Yeah, and that ends up being, likewise with Aaron Rodgers, I think all the things that made him fall out with the Green Bay Packers, one of them was that for year after year after year, the Packers wouldn't draft skill position players in the first round. Remember that long stretch until the Packers drafted Jordan Love.
That's a skill player.
They hadn't drafted a skill offensive skill position player since Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Since Aaron
Rodgers.
You
want a skill player? Here's your skill player, bro.
And meanwhile, the Packers would use those first round picks on defensive players and yet never have a good defense.
Correct.
So you are seeing now Aaron Rodgers with a competent defense. And then also a guy like Garrett Wilson for the first time in his career.
Yeah.
It's very intriguing. It's very intriguing. If you just try to look at it for ignore all the soap opera stuff and everything, it is really interesting to think about what this might become with Aaron Rodgers and a supporting cast and a defense on the other side of him at this age.
Yeah. And the chatter about Rodgers when he was in Green Bay is, they never have to draft guys that high because he's the type of quarterback that takes average players or above average, takes an above average guy and makes him Devontae Adams.
Mm-hmm.
Takes an average player, makes him above average. Makes anybody productive in that offense for the most part. I'll point out last night, Alan Lazard looked like a real receiver for the first time in a Jets uniform since they gave him a bunch of money last year. Lazard got into the end zone, I think, a couple times last night. Mike Williams, who they got from the Chargers, tore the ACL last year. He had some good plays in the game last night. I guess as a Texans fan, so those are two future opponents that they play fairly soon. I mean, they play the Patriots in 3 weeks. They play the Jets literally on Halloween night, the end of October. They play the Jets. How are we feeling about both of those games? Like the Patriots game looked a little harder the first 2 weeks.
The Patriots offensive line is just a mess. Yeah. And I don't know if anybody, as much as I fear Jacoby Brissett.
He might not make it to week 6.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So not to get cocky about it or anything, I'd be more worried about the Jets, which is a team that, again, last year gave Zach Wilson Zach Wilson had the best game of his NFL career against the Texans defense last time. And then CJ Stroud had one of his worst performances in a downpour. And again,
got concussed
behind Juice Scruggs playing left guard.
Yep.
So hopefully with the Jets, it's a little bit more personal with the Texans, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit more personal.
Yeah.
I think CJ especially is probably like, that's I wish I would have operated a little differently.
Really anxious to see what the Texans look like going into that game. Like the first part of the schedule for the Texans is very favorable.
Yeah.
You know, this is a game they're favored in on the road this week. I think it's gonna be a tough game. We'll talk more about the actual game itself here in the 9 o'clock hour. But Jacksonville ain't looking so hot. That Buffalo game could be one of the early game of the year type games if both teams are going the way they're going right now.
Yeah.
But then they play New England after that. They go to Green Bay. They play Indy at home. I think 6-2, I've said this before the season, is a real possibility. You know, and a 6-2 Texans team in the AFC going into New York is going to be viewed as a much different team than the one that went up to New York in week 14 last year.
Honestly, I'm not buying into Sam Darnold yet. He's had a couple of serviceable performances. I think they've been good performances. Credit Kevin O'Connell and that Minnesota scheme for getting guys wide open. Darnold has got 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. 20% of his yardage on the season was from one pass to Jamar 90, Jefferson.
97-yarder Justin Jefferson.
So he's done some good things. But I don't look at him as a bona fide real quarterback yet. It's when they start facing the real quarterbacks. If the Texans can win this game and go 3-0, But then you start. I don't know if Trevor Lawrence is a. He's not a scary quarterback.
Doesn't scare. That's exactly what I was going to say. He's not scary.
It's that Bills game where things start to get real. And then you would have thought, yeah, and then after a couple games after that, they got Jordan Love and the Packers. But I don't know. So far, so good with Malik Willis, but he's no Jordan. He's no Jordan Love.
No, there was scuttlebutt yesterday that Love might play this weekend.
Really?
Yeah. So okay. He'll be around for that week seven, unless he suffers another injury, obviously.
But then again, I mean, then you've got Anthony Richardson. If he's still playing by that point, good chance he won't be.
Yeah.
They might see Joe Flacco.
Oh, which how'd that go? Well, it went good one time last year.
Yeah.
Really
poorly the other time, but that was, I don't know. It's a lot easier to write off. We almost
no CJ
about
in that game. No, so once CJ, you got behind,
the secondary was real beat up too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was, I mean, it was an absolute all out bludgeoning at the hands of the Browns last year. I guess if the Texans hadn't beat the Colts in that last game, I think we would have ended up talking a lot more about that first Browns game. Just because it wasn't.
If the Texans hadn't beaten the Colts, they don't make the postseason.
Yeah, if they didn't make the postseason.
Yeah, we would have been. You're right.
Because I think that was, you can make all the excuses you want, but they just got completely destroyed in that game.
And then they got a redemption game.
Yeah.
In the exact same stadium.
Yeah.
3 weeks later. Text messages coming in still about our Circle of Swarm that we did nearly 2 hours ago.
Which is not the same as the Circle of Trust.
It's not.
Circle of Trust does not have a limit on it.
Right.
We just, as many guys as we genuinely trust on the Astros, that's in the Circle of Trust. Circle of Swarm, it's almost like a game ball type of thing.
Yeah.
But it's more about just like who's been the swarmiest as of late.
Yeah.
So there's only six guys allowed in the Circle of Swarm.
Yep. If you missed it earlier, the six guys, Seth and I each picked three. The six guys we picked, Seth picked Nico Collins, Kamari Lassiter, and CJ Stroud. I took Azeez Alshire, Jalen Petrie, and yes, I put our kicker in the Circle of Swarm. He can't come up and headhunt, okay?
Special work ethic and relentless mindset. The relentless part there.
Yeah.
The relentless mindset.
Yeah.
Oh, you want me to kick a 79-yarder here? No problem, Skip.
Yeah.
Then he goes in and does it.
Skip. And we've had a lot of people saying you need to add more. Sorry, you need to have eight. Somebody said it's stupid to only have six. You need to have 10.
That's like a participation trophy. If you just make everybody in
the circle.
You
must be a really
fun
little league coach. It's just lauding everybody.
Yeah.
That's really, really cool.
Listen, kids, the kid that's batting .450 and single-handedly won all these games for us this year,
he's not the
MVP.
Yeah.
He gets the exact same award.
He gets 1/12 of the MVP.
Yeah.
Who gets the other 11/12? Each of you 11 suckwads.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys.
These people that want us to have more in there, they're the reason we have inflation, you know?
Yeah.
You guys are all about monetary monetary easing. That's you just want to print money up.
Good call, Seth.
Means something.
Yep.
What's it called? Somebody text that in. It's a term for it.
The text message, the idiots questioning your Circle of Swarm need to start their own Circle of Swarm. Yeah. Good luck with that. We captured the market early on this, okay? You know the barriers to entry right now to starting your own Circle of Swarm?
I've got
when
a
you have me and Seth starting one?
I've got a scientific calculator. Can you afford that
in
your calculations? Probably not.
Yeah, yeah. You may as well go try to start your own iPhone when you're trying to start your own Circle of Swarm.
Yeah.
Good luck going against the two-headed Steve Jobs
now. Yeah, like you're going to be able to steal our technology the way Steve Jobs would steal others. Yeah.
Right. Like you're going to be able to just name six Texans and put them in a subjective circle.
Yeah, welcome to the big leagues, Rook.
Only the pros can do that.
Circle of Swarm.
Jerks. Yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you.
I've noticed a few times around the league, people have pointed out that the Swarm acronym it's kind of a janky acronym.
It's supposed to be SWIRM.
Yeah.
Yeah, D'Amico's taking liberties with the English language.
He turned work ethic
into one word.
That's what we do. Because you know why? Because we adapt. Because
he can.
Yes, we adapt.
Yeah.
That's part of being swarm mentality is you adapt.
Yeah. When all y'all everywhere else are using work ethic as a one collective word, 5 years from now, be sure to circle back and give D'Amico Ryans credit.
Adapt and improvise. That's the which I give the acronym ADII. That's right. Yep.
Because
AI is taken.
Yeah, absolutely. The Andy Dalton hype video would have been like doing a hype video for Kyle Allen back in 2022.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been. Remember when Kyle Allen came in and replaced Davis Mills?
Right.
It was in that Browns game against Deshaun.
The most annoying thing about that, in 21 and 22, there was a lot of stuff where it wasn't the individual players that we were annoyed at. It was the takes that those players created. So Kamu Grugier-Hill, there was a certain portion of the fan base that wanted to act like he was the next Ray Lewis. And it was driving me insane.
Dude, it was because so he was bad.
Objectively bad as a linebacker.
It was so bad.
But I think part of it, too, was there were people that after Kyle Allen didn't work out, there were a lot of people that tried to claim victory by being like, oh, I thought Kyle Allen was going to be the savior. Nobody was saying he was going to be the savior.
No.
We were at the point where you might as well try something.
Two sticks
you might as
together.
Well just do something because nothing's working. Yeah. There was nobody like within reason that was saying, oh, yeah, this is what's going to turn it around.
Quantitative easing?
Yes,
it,
thank you.
Is that the phenomenon
quantitative
you're
easing.
Looking for? Okay,
yes.
We had one person text
where you
in.
Print some money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quantitative easing.
I know
easing.
That from back during the Great Recession when I made the mistake of listening to Bloomberg Radio every day.
As an embryo, yes.
That's where I learned dead cat bounce, all these other things, yeah.
Yep.
Let me see if being immersed in this for 3 hours a day makes me feel better about my Florida real estate holdings. Nope, doesn't. I'm
it's
just
funny.
More informed
you,
about how miserable
you
I am.
You wearing that hat, I never would have taken you for somebody who would get bamboozled by Florida real estate holdings. That hat.
They're like swampland or anything,
Sean. Oh, my
Sean.
God. Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah, no, you're right.
I was fine. It wasn't like that cataclysmic or anything. Okay. It wasn't what I'd hoped to get out of the investment.
Bobby Slowick. I think the coaching matchups in this game are fascinating. So let's hear from Bobby Slowick in the next segment. Going up against Brian Flores, this might be the matchup of the game. We'll hear from Bobby Slowick coming up next.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
I saw a graphic yesterday that listed all 32 NFL teams. I forget what outlet it was from, but I was excited.
Good for them. It's hard to do when it was 32 things.
They listed all of them? They listed all 32 teams.
Wow.
With their percentage chance of making the postseason two weeks into the season.
Oh, okay.
You know who has the highest percentage chance of making the postseason right now?
I mean, even without saying anything nice about the Texans, they're the only team in the AFC South that's...
It's 2-0.
Yeah,
it's the Texans. Yeah, 77% chance right now, according to this particular outlet. Kansas City, 76% chance. And again, I forget which outlet it was. I don't know if that's what you're...
The one that listed all the NFL teams.
It was a graphic. Well, no, it was a graphic.
They're all NFL teams.
It was a
Look
graphic.
At this. Behold.
Just bringing up how good a times we live in right now.
Yeah. You know what? That's what starts to get me nervous, though, when you start like, talking about how good we have it when you're 2-0. But no, I mean, the big thing in the AFC South, they're all 0-2.
That's my point.
I mean, it's absurd how it is. And you see the stats and the odds and everything in terms of if you win your first two games versus if you start off 0-2, the chance of making the playoffs is a dramatic difference.
Dramatic.
But then especially when I think all three of those teams in the AFC South have shown their warts. It's not that these are flukish 0-2 teams.
Do you feel the Texans were 0-2 this time last year?
Yeah.
How did we feel about the Texans this time last year compared to how you feel about those three AFC South 0-2 teams?
Okay, that's
right
a
now?
Really good question because I think that in hindsight, if you look at the Texans, I would put San Francisco's defense in the same boat because watching the Vikings game last week, there is some onboarding with a new coach. And so I'm watching the Vikings versus the 49ers, and you can tell that they've got a new defensive coordinator, and there were guys that were just not on the same page. It didn't look like a 49ers defense. I expect that'll get better. Maybe it won't. Maybe it's a bad fit, but there's some sloppiness early on. So I think the Titans are the team that I'm most curious about in terms of, okay, with Callahan, does it take a little while for the changes that he's making? His father is the offensive line coach. It's not so simple or quick to just turn an offensive line around. But I think that of the three other AFC South teams, I think they've got the most... Maybe they've got the most room for growth based on just coaching alone.
They're the one team that you can say they are literally two massive Will Levis brain farts away from possibly being 2-0 right
now. I guess the only other problem there, though, is that I still do trust Trevor Lawrence way more than Will Levis. I mean,
I trust Anthony Richardson more than I trust Will Levis.
Okay, so, I mean, yeah, Will Levis might undo everything I just said.
Well, this might be an Andy Dalton, Bryce Young situation where if they put in Mason Rudolph and he just steers the ship and doesn't shovel the ball to the other team twice a game.
Right, that they might be
They might be fine because they've made some good pickups on defense.
Yeah.
They've made some, they've added some guys offensively that have a little juice to them.
So, I guess I got to, if I'm not going to be too reactionary to the first couple games of the season, I don't trust Anthony Richardson, so the Jaguars are still the team to be most concerned about.
Yeah, I had the Colts as the second best team coming into the season, and two games in is really tough to change my opinion on that. However, two things. One, Anthony Richardson doesn't look like he's made any progress.
No.
And two, I had no idea the defense was going to be that big a trash bag against the run.
This is the thing. This is the thing that I wanted to be careful about in looking at the Colts in the offseason. There's a hazard in saying, well, hey, they were already a really good team, except for some injuries in the quarterback situation last year. And they kept it pretty much all the same. They retained a bunch of free agents, but they didn't add any. And there's always a danger in just thinking you can run it back. Plus, we've got our quarterback coming in now. So, all right, well, if that's the deal, then A, you got to hope you can just run it back. It rarely works out that way, that you're just as good as you were the year before.
They were 9-8 also. It's not like they were...
Well, and the thinking would be, yeah, but then if Anthony Richardson is good, then it's off to the races. He has yet to complete more than 50% of his passes
in
the game.
Yep.
They'll win a few games this year based on individual heroic plays by Anthony Richardson, but I think the vast majority of the time they will not be in football games because Anthony Richardson is not a genuine NFL quarterback.
Yeah, I'm not feeling great about my prediction about the Colts being the second best team in the division. Not feeling good about that one right now, especially with DeForest Buckner out for a while now too. Their run defense is already bad. Now they lose their best interior player on the defensive line.
Same coach, same everything. There's no reason for them to all of a sudden be a bad defense.
It's a good point. It's a good point. Here's Bobby Slowick. Bobby Slowick, Texans OC. Fun matchup this weekend. Him against Brian Flores. Although Bobby points out that really, a lot of times with Flores, it's the players against Flores. Take a listen to what Slowick has to say.
Yeah, that's actually, it's funny you say that. Our big thing this week is the challenge about this defense is it's almost like he does everything he can to try to eliminate coaches from the equation. You know, like he creates a lot of chaos, but then behind it all, they're fundamentally sound. They run, they hit, they do all things the defense needs to do. And for us, like we strain this week, the biggest thing for us is our guys got to go out and they got to own what they're doing. And they like, we have to play well against this defense, you know, and our quarterback is leading the charge on that. And he knows that if we block well, if we throw well, if we're on time, if we're good in our protections, that's what gives us a shot. Otherwise, like the way this defense is structured, there's not things anyone can really cook up as a play caller or as a coach that's going to answer the problems that get presented.
Yeah, and I think a lot of this, it goes back to just so many various good defensive coordinators in the league. It's when they disguise the pre-snap look really, really well. It's hard as a coach to say, hey, when you see this formation, you can check to this, or when we're versus this personnel package, check to that. Because if the defense isn't giving you those clues beforehand, and when the guys are well coached and technically sound, there just aren't as many weaknesses to attack. Flores does a really good job of all that. The schemes, I think sometimes, both with offensive and defensive coordinators, sometimes people get a little too wrapped up in the play design and everything else. At the end of the day, it's how well can you coach your players to execute and do this stuff. Flores does a really good job of confusing the offensive lineman and the quarterback before the snap, and then those guys not having that little extra edge, and then also having to process after the snap mentally to where they end up making mistakes. Last year they were one of the heaviest blitzing teams in the league. This year they are not, the Vikings. They're just playing really sound football. So it's a challenge, especially for this offensive line that has, they've been upended mentally with some relatively simple stuff at times. With some more complex stuff they struggle, but they've also been upended mentally by some really simple stuff.
Yeah.
And this is a test. They got to take a step forward this week. We're playing in Minnesota.
As much as you can be salivating at the thought of going against C.J. Stroud, Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, all the weapons, all the skill weapons, there's got to be part of Flores after watching that game last week with the Bears and the Texans and watching how the Texans offensive line reacted or maybe didn't react to some of the stunts and the shifts that the Bears are doing up front.
The penalties were embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, there's part of Flores that's really got to be excited about this matchup from his standpoint.
Texans have 12 penalties in that game, and a lot of them ones that were just boneheaded penalties that hurt. You're hurting yourself. You're taking yourself out of good situations. The false starts are just unforgivable. I don't care who you are, how good you are, whatever. When you're leading the league in a bad thing, it's always a bad thing.
Yep.
Hey, Mom, I got an A. But I've also got three different types of venereal disease. Like, all right, well, we got to address all these things.
You could have just said they got D's. I got an A, but I also have these three D pluses.
Well, yeah, I don't know. It almost feels like a different category.
You can be the best
in the league at pass protection, but you're really irresponsible with your sex life.
I got you. No, that's fair. Good analogy. Let's see. Peyton Pendergast with you. Sean, where can I get the T-shirt that you're wearing? I've got on my Ryan's Stroud 24 election font T-shirt, where it says God, Country, Swarm beneath the election font.
We try to bring politics into the show as much as
possible. Try as hard as we can. Yes. Yeah, really. This is the best I can do. I forget. I got it off. I got it off of a website and gladly forked over my money to them.
Yeah.
But you can Google it. There's a lot of websites you can customize shirts. It's a custom T-shirt.
But it'd be nicer for our listeners if you could mass produce it so they could get it at a better rate than what Moneybags Pendergast pays for.
That's true. Oh, yeah, that's true. I get it in bulk and then they can take advantage of the savings. Yeah. I got you.
That's the way capitalism works, my friend.
I know. I'm too busy with my hot takes. I know. Worry about the economy.
Quantitative easing.
That's true. Yeah.
I'm gonna start using that phrase for everything.
I gotta think to myself.
Chief, I'll be honest with you. I didn't even know what quantitative easing was until a few weeks ago, but now I know and I use it all the time. I'm just gonna start using it for everything.
Yeah.
Some
of you might not know it. Hell, I didn't until a week ago. I love Clint Starter.
A barista wants a tip. What is this? Quantitative easing? I don't know.
Do you think, I'm going to go to their broadcast this afternoon up at the Taqueria Sarandas in the Heights. Should I grab the microphone and ask Clint on the air if he knows what quantitative easing is?
I think it's silly as hell.
Well, it is sometimes. Clint.
It can
it's
be.
Always, it's dicey. It's kind of, dicey is
Clint's
what it is.
Clint's the best. Yeah, go out there and see the fellas today. It's Taqueria Sarandas on Shepherd up in the Heights. Good spot. I ate dinner there two nights ago. It was good. All right, let's get you guys ready. Get you ready for the weekend. Get you ready for this game between the Vikings and the Texans. We'll lay out some of the keys we've got to get you ready. We'll talk to the guys on In the Loop, see what they got going on. John Lopez out today. Luke Morrow is in, so we've got that coming up. Top of the hour. Stay there.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, let's lay it out here. 9 a.m. Sunday, Texans
down,
countdown.
Sean.
I'm not going to do that.
Lay you down.
I am not. Okay, well, now that you're putting that hat on, maybe I will.
That's, down.
Yeah. 9 a.m. Sunday, Texans countdown, presented by Modelo Especial. Noon kickoff and postgame with me and Clint Sterner.
Yes.
Seth and I have pregame. Me and Clint have postgame. We got you covered all Sunday long here on Sports Radio 610. Be there. 2-0 Texans at the 2-0 Minnesota Vikings. Last I checked, the Texans, as they were in Indianapolis in week one, a small favorite in a dome on the road. Although they opened the roof for the Colts game.
With a former first-round quarterback that you're not sure is actually a good quarterback or not. Whether it's Anthony Richardson or Sam Darnold.
A lot of parallels.
Darnold has looked a lot better than a lot of people, myself included. Well, I'm still skeptical of Sam Darnold. He's been good over two games, but early in the season, it looks a whole lot like, okay, Kevin O'Connell, the head coach and architect of the offense, is doing some really good things to get guys wide open, and Sam Darnold has been able to take advantage of it. I don't think he doesn't look like he's all of a sudden accurate or consistent or anything, but he's got four touchdowns, two interceptions, and he's not somebody to be taken lightly. One of the big things is that he can run his way out of trouble. He versus the 49ers had a couple of big first downs that he ran for. So he's not Anthony Richardson as an athlete, but you've got to be conscious of that and wary of that. So this is no joke. This is not Sam Darnold of the Jets.
Or the Jets or any of the other, you know, the Panthers or whatever the case may be. Darnold passer rating right now is sixth in the league. However, when you pull out the play action in the screens, which I think fall into the categories you're talking about, scheming guys wide open for him, he's got the 13th best passer rating. So still middle of the pack when you incorporate play action or screens. It's when you apply pressure on Sam Darnold that all of a sudden he becomes a mess.
His
passer rating under pressure, taking out the highly scripted plays that scheme guys open, he's 25th. He's still Sam Darnold when you can get heat on him.
And this is where what I want to see from the Texans, and I'm guessing this is what D'Amico wants to see as well, is that at some point people were asking how come there were no defensive linemen in the circle of swarm this week when there were seven sacks in the game. Because the Texans blitzed the hell out of the Bears.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to really heap a lot of praise on the defensive line until they start doing it with a four-man pass rush. So that's when there'll be more guys in the circle of swarm.
More defensive linemen in the circle of swarm.
Yeah. And being out of the circle of swarm is not an insult.
Yes.
It's not like the circle of trust where you're either in or you're out. There's only six members in the circle of swarm.
That's it. Seth and I each pick three. We unveiled it at 7:20 today. We each pick three. That's it.
One thing that the Vikings have done really well with Sam Darnold is creating some easy opportunities for him against the 49ers, typically a pretty damn good defense.
Yeah.
The 49ers were out of position a lot. And the Texans have been hot or cold with this. Week one, they were making way too many mental errors. You gotta clean all of that up. I think they did in week two. But continuing now where you're facing a veteran quarterback, really, I mean, this is the first veteran quarterback, whether it's Sam Darnold or not.
No doubt.
This is the first veteran quarterback you faced, and he's going to be able to capitalize on some of your errors on the back end a lot better than Caleb Williams.
Yep, he will. So I think, you know, if we're looking at keys to the game, I think we've been using swarm a lot today, but I think swarming Sam Darnold and keeping him in the pocket and getting him on the ground a few times, putting him in bad down and distance situations where you can tee off on him.
Yeah, and honestly, too, just he will throw a receiver into danger.
Yeah.
The old shoulder to the spine by way of the stomach cavity.
Which?
That's where just flat out destroying these dudes on crossing routes when they catch the football.
Which, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Which Texans defensive back has the hit that is either illegal or closest to illegal, like Petrie did last week?
I almost hope it's not Kalen Bullock because he himself
might combust.
He needs to tamp it down a little bit, right?
Yeah.
It feels boring to just go with Jalen Petrie.
I'm going to go Jimmy Ward.
Oh.
Jimmy Ward, I think, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Jimmy's not above that.
No. Jimmy's got a little familiarity just with, you know, having gone against the Rams twice a year when O'Connell was with the Rams.
Yeah.
So maybe there's some little things he sees in the film that gives him a chance.
I'm going to go Jimmy Ward on that one. So swarming Darnold is big. How do you think they handle Justin Jefferson in this game?
I suspect they'll do what's worked for them in two of their last three appearances, which is just having Derek Stingley track the best receiver.
What do you think of that matchup?
Oh, it's going to be fun.
It will be fun as hell.
I don't think they're going to do it like with Derek Stingley with zero coverage behind him or anything.
No.
I think they're just going to have him. He'll follow him around the field.
Up.
Yeah. Now, and that's where the cat and mouse game comes into it, too. There's an element of having your best guy track their best guy. Okay, that's great, and maybe it helps out the other defensive backs. But it does put guys like Kamari Lassiter into a more challenging situation in that Kamari spent the entire offseason playing the right side of the field. And then all of a sudden last week, he's out there on the left side of the field.
And
I thought early on, it looked like he might have almost been not seeing things as well as he typically does. He got into it real quickly. But it does put stress. It's an overall benefit, but it does put stress, especially on some of your younger defensive backs.
Yeah, I mean, Jefferson's a great player. That's what's going to happen, yeah. The running game for the Texans will be a huge story in this game.
Yeah.
They want to run the football. We know they want to run the football. They ran it well in week one. They didn't run it well at all in week two. The one time they did pop a few things in the run game, other than one big Joe Mixon run for 16 yards, was with Cam Akers in the game until he fumbled inside the 5-yard line. But it could be Akers time. Today's a big injury. I feel like I say that every week. Today's a big injury report.
Today it genuinely is for the first time, really.
Yeah.
You've got multiple guys that are, I mean, Juice Scruggs, he was practicing yesterday. Assumingly, I assume he'll play in the game.
Yeah.
But they're better continuity-wise with him in there.
Yeah.
And look,
running backs are the big ones.
Yeah, I mean, and Dameon Pierce being banged up. We don't get to, A, have Dameon Pierce if he remains banged up. But then, B, I do think that he and Cam Akers are different style running backs, which can be a good 1-2 punch. We've shown Bobby will have two running backs out on the field, not just a fullback and a running back, but two running backs at times. I think that not having that 1-2 potential punch probably hurts them too. I'd like to see both those.
So
guys.
You didn't even mention Mixon. Do you think Mixon's out?
I don't think it, but yeah. I hope he's not.
No, I hope he's not too.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I have a feeling. It looked like a nasty ankle injury.
I haven't heard anybody even deluding themselves into saying he's playing, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's why I don't think he's. I mean, D'Amico said, "Well, he's be day by day, and we'll see how he is at the end of the week." That was a nasty, nasty ankle twist.
I never know with ankles.
Yeah,
Sean, you watch enough basketball and you see there's times where it looks like looks like a guy must have completely dislocated his ankle and he's back out there in
the third quarter. Yeah. You're right. Here's Bobby Slowick on Cam Akers, who I think is almost assuredly going to get some time this weekend.
Yeah, he's great vision. He's been running, Ram zone scheme. He came from. He did the same thing in Minnesota. He's really good at reading that. We call it riding the wave, finding the right hole to hit. He always plays under control. When he sees it, he hits it. He finished physical. And he has really good contact balance, And I'd say those are the things that jump out with Cam. You pretty much see that every carry.
Yeah, I like that. The riding the wave, which is kind of what it's like. You're hovering around there, and then you. I wish I knew anything about surfing at all, but visually it looks like it. I'm sure. Yeah,
You on a surfboard? I would like to see that.
I've tried.
Have you?
Yeah, it was when I was like an active NFL player. It was a big old longboard.
Oh yeah,
and these small little waves in Florida, you know.
Were you allowed? I mean, we can talk now. Statute of limitations. Were you allowed to, by virtue of your contract, surf in the offseason?
Yeah, I didn't have any restrictions in my contract about anything. No.
Okay. I didn't know if there were like standard restrictions.
No,
for NFL
plus
players.
Surfing's not that. I mean, if you're not trying to go out there and slay the big, slay the 50 footers. Yeah,
what do they
something.
Call it? Like the taunt? Like
I'm not Laird Hamilton. Yeah, I wasn't getting towed in a wave runner.
I don't even know if that's a real person. You
yes, he's that. He's one of the better big wave riders. He's the one that married the Gabby Reese.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There you go. So
I think I got that right.
Cam Akers. I think you're right. Cam Akers, big in this game in all likelihood. Poof. Dameon Pierce and Joe Mixon both playing in this game. I don't know. Just feels like playing the odds at this point that at least one of them is going to miss some time.
D'Amico's been really good at keeping things close to the vest when it comes to injuries. Yeah. Who's going to start at quarterback in any given game last year? They keep this stuff close to the vest. I think it's nice that people don't get annoyed by it because they understand that that's the gamesmanship of it all. Remember back in the Lovie Smith era, there were like a few writers that were upset that Lovie wasn't naming somebody a starter during the week.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, like these guys need every bit of help they can get. Just let them go.
I know.
Yeah, so I think maybe Joe Mixon feels awesome, but he also doesn't need to practice.
Yeah.
And needs
that
all
we
the
learned.
Rest.
He didn't practice at all in the training camp, and he went for $160 his first
and
game.
And maybe he comes out up there in Minnesota and just thrashes the Vikings.
Yep. You got a feel on this game? I got 23-20 Texans in this game.
23-20 Texans. I do think that I think they spring a couple of big passes this week.
Okay.
I've seen
a lot of people on the text page want to see Tank and or Diggs break out this
week. Yeah, I don't need it. I mean, at some point it will, but teams are trying to play as conservative as possible. Flores is very much that guy that'll just try to take away the deep ball. But I think that this is the week where the Texans have built up enough tendencies that now they can counter those tendencies.
Ah, they can use it against.
And we should mention at some point, because I forgot to today, like Brian Flores is still actively suing the Texans. So there's
true.
That.
Yeah.
The defensive coordinator for the Texans is also suing the Texans.
This game has legal juice.
Yes. I like do. It. I feel a little bit like Brian Flores is on a revenge tour this year with the way that
the
he's
other teams?
Calling
he sued
defense.
The Giants?
The Dolphins, of course.
Yeah. And I want to say the Broncos might have been on there because that was the year they hired Peyton. I don't know.
The Texans is the weirdest one that I feel his lawyers talked into. No,
they hired Peyton last year. I'm trying to remember. No, that was the year they hired Nathaniel Hackett. Yeah. the Broncos. I would sue the Broncos, too, just for hiring Nathaniel Hackett.
Just as yourself. Your mic's not
There you go. Yeah.
Just yourself?
Just me. As a football.
Football watcher.
As a football watcher.
Why would you make us watch that?
I felt like watching him sit on the bench for the Jets last night. I'm like, that's where I can't take the Jets seriously. Everybody's like, oh, Rodgers this, and he looks the same as he was in Green Bay, and oh, the defense, and blah, blah, blah. And then I look and I see that boob, Nathaniel Hackett, sitting there looking at the iPad, probably playing Candy Crunch on the iPad, not even looking at football plays.
Just like scheduling some appointment for Aaron.
Aaron
needs a pedicure on Tuesday. I want to be sure I get the right.
Amazon.
Sure, we get Judy.
Aaron, your Amazon's almost here. Look.
That's going to be the infomercial years from now. Just like, you know, were you at Camp Lejeune in the 80s?
Yeah.
You might be, you know, available to a settlement.
Right.
Did you watch Nathaniel Hackett run an offense in the
2020s?
NFL?
Yeah.
It's time to sue Nathaniel. Yeah. A class action against Nathaniel Hackett.
In 2050,
that'd be awesome.
People's eyes have burned out.
Yeah. That's very good. Jets fans can do it. All the Broncos fans.
Anybody
for clock management.
General NFL fans. Yeah.
Apparently, Flores also part of the defendants, the Titans and the Cardinals also in
there. Yeah, I know he kept piling some people on there. Originally, it was the Giants. That was the one where, like, the Giants one was weird. Like, he accidentally got a text.
Oh, from O'Brien, or from Belichick.
Yeah.
Saying congrats.
Yeah, congrats.
Belichick texted the wrong
Brian. It was Dayball.
Yeah. Should sue. Why doesn't he sue Belichick?
He should. Yeah.
Sue everybody, damn it.
Sue everybody.
It's the American way. Litigation.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
I think that I did feel like the Texans one was strange in that I think somewhere along the way, Flores has had his legal counsel talk him into some of the things, because some of them were, I mean, with the Texans, it was, it was an odd situation all around. He was added late to the search, and then they shouldn't have sued him for retaliation. He should have sued him for just toying with him.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, wasting my time.
Is that a legal term?
Right. Yeah. Wasting my time. Yeah. Quantitative easing. Yeah.
Yes, it's long been an element of quantitative easing.
I've always
championed. Yes.
Yes.
I have no idea.
Reggie.
Neither do we.
You started getting into legalese, and I was like, I'm good.
Don't worry. We don't know what it is.
Okay, very good.
Somebody texted the term, and now we're just going to use it for everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I might have to write that one down. Yeah.
Quantitative easing. Go ahead and use it.
It's when you print a bunch of money to try to... To ease things.
There you go. Yeah. Good explanation, Seth.
You started off so strong.
Reggie added to a list.
It's like, hey, America needs to pay its debts. It's pretty much a money. Problem is, it leads to inflation.
That's how I handle all my problems in life generally.
Yeah. Reggie Atatula in. Luke Morrow in for John Lopez. This is fun. Luke, you get a nice bite at the apple on a Football Friday. It's a big one, man. Two undefeated squads going at it.
You guys can wear the red foam cap if you want to. I'm lice free for now.
Yeah, Seth's been wearing it the whole show. Yeah.
I would have worn it if you did not add that last part. You had lice concerns. I don't know, man.
I haven't had lice in months.
I wouldn't
months,
hide that head
months.
Of hair. Head of hair either.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Pay good money for it.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to hide that. Fired up, man. 2-0 versus 2-0 this weekend.
Yeah, excited. Revenge games, too.
Yeah. Lots of revenge going on both sides.
And I forgot the Brian Flores aspect. He's got some revenge of his own.
It's one of these things that's been kind of like, it's a lawsuit that's now probably going to spend like 5 years in the system before it comes up.
And the two finalists that got supplanted by Lovie Smith are both on this Vikings staff.
Oh.
Flores and McCown.
Oh, that's
they
right.
were the two finalists for the job that year. Yeah.
That should be in the lawsuit, too, from
Brian
Flores.
Yes.
You're making me work with this dude.
No, Luke, get out a notepad. I want you, by the end of this, I want all the defendants in our class action
suit
against the sport of football.
McCown should make it racial, too. You should be like, oh, they wouldn't draft. It's clear at this point they're only drafting African American coaches.
Yeah.
I never stood a chance. Who's the victim here?
Let's sue him. Sue everybody. All right, we are done. We're out of time. Seth, antibodies
and headlights.
See you,
to you.
Sunday at 9 a.m.
We'll see.
Texans countdown. He'll be there. I'm going to text Brandy right now. Can you wake Seth up, please, for 9 a.m.? All right, we're done.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.